So, Matt, this is what you get for your prize.
Mama's wrong again.
Hey, hey, hey to all of the three other backlog busters that we have here tonight. We got a full house. This is crazy. One more.
Wait and a second. I don't think that's how cards work.
No,
it's full house needs enough. Five cards.
Yeah. Depends on how you play. We play fast and loose here at my house when it comes to cards. If only Grouchy were here, he could fill in that last little corner, but no. Oh, well, just us. So I hope everybody is doing well on this fantastic, Saturday evening. Forgot where I was. So I know we want to go ahead and jump into things because I know that Jeremy is going to be leaving us very soon. We are recording a little bit later because we had a fantastic pre-show game so that he could participate. So if you're not a patron, you are missing out on some very interesting and I think funny content. So today's pre-show is brought to you by the numbers 64 and 69. Oh, you're not going to say it?
Nice.
Right. Yeah, I knew you were going to say it. I don't know why you didn't say it. So, so check us out, patreon.com/backlogbusters. And I want to go ahead and give a quick shout out to our most recent patron, Porcho, a guy who is supporting us all the way down in the, I guess you could call it the United Kingdom of the Southern Hemisphere, Australia. If we've learned, now, I mean, isn't that what we learned from?
Yes, he's in Tasmania, I believe. So even further south. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it is. I learned that it's part of the Aussie area, but yeah, he's a great dude. Thank you, Porcho.
Yeah, thanks. So, I mean, we got someone supporting us from Australia/Tasmania, Germany, and then, of course, various states in the United States. So that's pretty cool. So, before we get into...
Yeah, das ist gut.
Uh-oh, we got an echo. What happened? How did that happen?
I don't know.
Okay.
Test. Are we
going to keep going? All right. Was it?
Looks like it went away.
Mike's headphones. Okay. So All right. So talk to me about your favorite thing since the last time we met or recorded or whatever.
All right. So I think my favorite thing has to be garage sales. So, it's springtime. It means everybody's doing some spring cleaning.
So what are you talking about? I got 2 inches of snow outside.
Hey. That doesn't mean, here in the South, they're not trying to get rid of all their old dusty Wii games. So I was able to pick up a copy of Super Mario. It's Super Paper Mario. I should get that right. And a copy of Mario Kart Wii, and a copy of Super Mario Brothers Brawl, all for essentially $1 a piece. And kind of my favorite part of that was getting a Wii Classic Pro controller. So I had a classic controller for the Wii, that shape is a little bit awkward once you start playing with controllers with the little wings on the bottom. I don't know what you'll call those, the grips. So getting that pro version for $1 was pretty nice. So, and by the way, I also went back today and I bought a third-party GameCube controller that had a little bit of a problem with its C-stick. It was a... the Pelican version, anyways, for 10 cents. So I did fix that C stick and tested it out. So we're back in business. So I think garage sales, that's my favorite thing.
I think you have much better luck with yard sales than I do.
Yeah. Around here, people know what they have.
But, you know, there is like a community-wide garage sale that's going to happen in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm going to try to get up early and go up and down the streets and see what people have, if anything good. But it's usually like clothing, and I don't want your clothing.
I will say that's another great thing to pick up on is anything for garage sales, estate sales, yard sales. Buy the things that you actually need. So my brother-in-law told me this once. He would buy like a can of WD-40 for like a quarter. It's like, he's like, that's five bucks at Walmart. So buying things that you can actually use or disposable stuff, that's a pro tip. Save some money out there.
So what am I supposed to do with this CRTV I have that I bought at the estate sale on the street last summer?
You should use it. You should hook up an old console to it and enjoy it.
I got rid of my old consoles.
I will say something that's interesting about the CRT is I recently hooked mine up and started playing it. And I don't know if it's literally the rays beaming into my eyeballs or just getting old, but I feel like it's hard for me to watch a CRT now. I don't know if it's so bright, vivid, or again, the rays from the ray tube are just embedding in my brain, but it's like, man, what's wrong with me? So I did dial back the picture. I think I had it cranked, so maybe I'll be all right. But anyways, that's maybe a problem with getting old. Is
because I got this like 20 or so inch Sony Triniton I need to get rid of.
Okay, so.
So Math Man, I mean, you're going to be here later this summer.
I had a 27 inch Sony Triniton. And that thing was a beast. Yeah, I recycled it at Best Buy.
You know that's one that all the classic gamers want, right?
Oh, it was a great TV, but I didn't really have a use for it anymore, and it was huge. It was like 150 pounds.
This one isn't that big.
So yeah, if it's a 20 inch, that's pretty reasonable.
It's
so,
like 20 or 24 inch. I don't know.
I think
it's not very big. It's like it's about the size of my monitor.
Just swing it back by through my house on the way back, Ryan. That's it.
Okay, so you obviously do not understand the path that I'm taking. But anyway, you know what? I'm not gonna do that. You can just ship it to Turkey, and it's gonna be fine.
It'd be like $4,000.
He'll pay you. It's worth it, as long as he doesn't have to carry it, because we know he has issues with carrying those big TVs.
Yes.
All right. So Matt, how about you?
Well, it's been a while since I've been here, but just came in something, an order I made the other day just came in today. My stickers, if you remember the old Nintendo, remember they were trying to, because everyone said, oh, your parents are going to, oh, you play those Nintendos? You play that Nintendo? Because, you know, when the Super Nintendo was out on the other consoles, they made a replica of their little things they put out in video stores with Mario. It's a sticker that says, there is no such thing as a Nintendo. If anybody remembers that. I'm sorry, the lighting stinks because I'm getting a lot of reflection.
No, I see it.
If anybody remembers that little marketing thing that Nintendo did and included on stuff, it's probably a little backwards, but because it's the mirror image, but somebody, I got it from the Joypad Lad Etsy shop. He's got some good stuff over there, some stickers and magnets. Yes, I'll plug him right now, but got this from over there, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think if I do orders, like I really want to order some stuff from him. But if I do that, I think I might just like drive up there and get it because it's not even maybe an hour away.
I message him. I mean, that's where I got my Chrono Trigger badges from. So
nice.
Yeah, he's got Chrono Trigger stickers and magnets. Yeah.
And Super Mario World.
He's got Super Mario World. He's got like WWE as in like the wrestling game. He's got stuff like Nintendo Christmas theme. He's got tons of stuff. Good stuff.
What a thing going on over there.
Highly recommend it. Quality products too.
Oh, good.
Free shipping in the United States.
Nice. So
I expect my cut for that advertisement there. Just let you know.
You can keep expecting. I bet you're going to get nothing.
Yeah,
I feel like we're right. Advertising so many different things on this podcast. I don't even know that we're the Backlog Busters. But Mike, what you got?
So my favorite thing since the last time I got to join this lovely crew is that my son came over to visit. We had dinner. We got to talk. It was a nice time. Even though he had abandoned us the night before at D&D, I forgive him. It'll be okay.
He was taking a very long rest. Very long rest.
Very long rest.
I mean, his character was a little too hungover and couldn't come adventure, so.
It happens. I mean,
hopefully he gets up for the shenanigans that are going to happen in the next segment of the campaign.
At least you're still in town. That makes it easier for him to catch up to you.
Very nice.
Pretty sure we're in the room like next door or something. So,
yeah. You know what we should do? You know, what we should have done when we were doing the campaign is that we should have snuck in with a bowl of warm water and put his hand in it. Roll for
initiative. Does that work on Dragonborns?
I don't know. It'd probably pee fire or something, so it's probably not the best thing to do.
Should have got some Icy Hot.
Do they sell that in Phandalin?
I'm the DM. They can sell whatever they... Sure. They don't call it Icy Hot. It's called Hot Cooling Lotion.
You seem to be sweating quite profusely.
Okay, so I guess my favorite thing since last time, I was actually trying to think, like, what could I even say? I guess was I had 2 days of training at work. It's like from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Just, I don't know. It's not my kind of thing, but I think at the end, I think there was a lot of positive that came out of it. A lot of things that I can use to I'm going to help my students and make my classroom a little bit more engaging. So I got to meet a lot of colleagues that I don't normally get to see, because on my campus, there are maybe a dozen faculty members compared to the main campus, which is where I was. And they have like 100 or 200. So it was nice to get to, you know, rub elbows with them and, you know, discuss best practices and, you know, enjoy that. No, super exciting. Not nearly as fun as finding fantastic deals at yard sales. We're getting to hang out with my son who has left the house. We're getting cool stickers. Oh! Well, I did pre-order something, and I don't know if I'm going to cancel it. And that's the PDP Guitar Hero. Or the guitar for Guitar Hero. The pre-orders went up for that, I think, on Thursday.
Well, what is this? That's just the hardware, right?
It's just so PDP was like making like guitars for Guitar Hero, since you just can't really get them anymore except paying for like, you know, a ton of money. So I think they're officially licensed. They work for, they're supposed to work for like Xbox, PC, and PlayStation. So I think the Rock Band 4 is fairly cheap. I don't know. Just thinking about if I'm going to actually keep that pre-order or not. We'll see. Anyway.
That's pretty cool. One other bonus thing. The Inazuma 11 open beta worldwide starts next Thursday, I believe.
Is that something you're interested in?
Yes. I'm very excited to play as Mark Evans. And stop some soccer balls. So, yes, get on your Switch and probably other consoles that are more powerful. Download Inazuma 11 Victory Road Worldwide Beta starting on 3/28/24.
What platforms can we find that on?
PS5, Switch, probably PS4. I don't know about Xbox. PC, probably.
Okay. I'll have to look into that. So, Jeremy, I know you're going to have to go pretty soon, but I did want to get your number 15 through 11 games of all time.
Okay. Well, I'll rattle through them real quick. What I was trying to do earlier in the pre-show, we were doing some technical difficulty stuff. When doing some technical difficulties, I was trying to play a little game. We'll see if we actually can do it maybe next time. But this time, what I was going to do is play music from my next games and see if they could guess what they were initially. So, because these had some pretty good tunes. Number 15, not necessarily my namesake because, sadly, they are turkeys. I'm sorry. They are chickens in the cans. That would be Streets of Rage 2 on the Sega Genesis. So, I ended up, I played that one as a kid. I believe I had it on the Game Gear, but played through it recently, in the last couple of years, on the Genesis and one of the collections. And it's a great beat 'em up. Music is great. It has kind of almost a fighting game feel. You know, there's kind of a juggling kind of feel to it, more so than, you know, like Final Fight, which I felt was a little bit too slow. It's a good beat 'em up, and like every beat 'em up gets difficult, way too difficult at the end. But when you have save states and unlimited, continues, that kind of stuff, you can manage it. Number 14, another banger when we're talking about music, is I know it's maybe not one of Blaze's favorites, but that would be Katamari Damacy, a game, unlike anything else. Rolling a ball as a young lad, Prince, who is forced to battle consumerism and create stars, because people have a lot of junk, and you gotta roll it all up, shoot it into the spaces, and make the stars. It's a great game, and probably it does control a little funky, but I would imagine anybody who would get on YouTube and type in Katamari Damacy OST would have a good time with that, at least if you didn't like the actual gameplay.
The music in that game is great. I will give it that. That'll stick in your head for long times to come.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those, it's just the art style of it. I really enjoy, because it's like low poly before low poly was a thing, like as far as something, like now they're starting to kind of make games that look low poly to kind of harken back to PS1 and stuff like that. But
like the Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, where I feel like, something on the PS2 was trying to be more realistic, where this was not. And I think that kind of helped it, stick out in a good way.
I think that's true with there were a lot of games back then that, when you tried to go for the realism, like we, in the pre-show stuff, we did mention something about Eternal Darkness, and the art style was, let's be as realistic as we can be, as opposed to Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, which had an art style that has become, to me, timeless. It still holds up very well. And so, just like with Katamari Damacy, it's going to hold up because it's its own thing. It's not trying to push the limits, which will then make it outdated very, very quickly.
Yeah, and those HD remasters of, Wind Waker and Katamari and Reroll, it's... I wouldn't say it's an easy remaster, but you're not trying to update every texture. You just kind of make everything smooth and crisp. I guess that's kind of the same, a different thing, but you know what I mean. It's well, an
crisp
easier.
Crisp was the word that I had in my head. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next is
number 13
is Tecmo Super Bowl, a game that I played a lot as a child with my, my older stepbrother, and a lot of people, well, even in high school, I played a lot with my friends. You know, we would play seasons.
Which version? NES or SNES or Genesis?
NES. Okay. The NES version.
QB Browns, baby.
Yeah.
Well, the Super Nintendo, wasn't that Super Tecmo Bowl? Not Tecmo Super Bowl?
No, still Tecmo Super Bowl. It just was. It came out a year later, had updated more updated rosters and graphics. Because that was the difference between having Bernie Kosar or having QB Browns or QB Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They were able to, so they had the, I guess maybe with the Super Nintendo, they had the player license as well. Where in the NES version, they just had the NFL team license, not, you know, the actual player association license. So they couldn't get player names. They could only get teams. But a great game, still holds up well as far as an arcade-y sports game that was on the NES where you could, you know, you would have injuries. You would, it was more of like a good, I guess you could say it had an arcade-y feel, but had a lot of things going on in the background that made it almost like a sim. It was pretty deep. Number 12, pretty nice game. Do a barrel roll. That's right. Star Fox 64. I remember playing this game in my bedroom, as a kid, and just, I mean, I was blown away. Like I said, anytime I can get, it's a shooter. It's relatively easy to go through, but you can go through lots of paths. Played it on the 3DS recently, the remake that they re-released, and it was really fun. Holds up well, obviously better than Star Fox Zero. They should have just made that another re-release of Star Fox 64. But anyways, Star Fox 64. And last but not least in this round is a PlayStation 1 game, another banger as far as music goes, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I played it in the, what collection was that on the PSP? Anyways, it was a hidden game on the PSP. Played through it on that, kind of late to it, but really enjoyed it. And I think from that point on, I started trying to look for the Castlevania, Metroidvania kind of game. Because I just wanted to, I love the filling up of the map and finding out, okay, how do I get to this, you know, point in the game, in the map. But yeah, that's it's a great game. And I was kind of late to it, but kind of helped me know that style of game I really enjoyed. So,
have you played? Imagine hiding the superior game on your collection. You know, making it a hidden game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you tried playing any of the like recent? I don't want to say adaptation, but something like Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night.
Very I don't. Much I haven't like played.
Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, I haven't played Bloodstained. I have help me on this, Blaze. Dark Moon. Is it Dark? No. What's the
Curse of the Moon?
Curse of the Moon collection.
Aria of Sorrow.
No, the Curse of the Moon 1 and 2 collection. That is the like 8-bit version. I haven't played them yet, but that's that. I do have the Game Boy Advance collection on the Switch as well. I bought that when that was on sale. I wish I had the physical copy of that, but I don't. Not yet. Not yet. But anyways, that I played through Aria of Sorrow on the Wii U, actually. I bought that GBA game, and that was a really good Castlevania game as well. So, yeah, that's... But Symphony of the Night was the first one, like I said, hidden on that collection on the PSP. I think it's Castlevania Chronicles, maybe? I'd have to look into that. But anyways, that's how I played Symphony of the Night for the first time.
Crazy that you would... Like, why hide a game? I understand, you know, maybe you're blocking a game off until you complete a different game, or, you know, hiding it behind a certain mode or something, but not... actually having it hidden?
Yeah, you had to, I can't remember the exact steps, but it was pretty detailed, and you had to, it was like a book or something like that, or maybe there was like a disc, and then you like had to do something, and then you found it, and then once you found it, then you could play that game, like in the menu, select it. But it's kind of cool. I mean, I like that kind of stuff. You know, if it's, I would rather them put it in there than not, so... But
ooh, yeah.
My time has come, so I would like to wish you gentlemen a wonderful evening. And sorry, I had to bounce a little early. I did love the game earlier, Ryan. So thank you for doing that. That was really fun, and I hope the Patreon members really enjoy that. So thank you for
that. Something to say, Mike?
Yeah. So with him, this is going to be more of a, like a technical thing with him backing out so early. Do we just want to end it here? Nope. So we can get his audio uploaded, and then,
no, it'll be fine. As long as if you just like leave your computer on for just a moment. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
So what I just do, I just need to, close out the window. Sorry. For the no. Matt says no.
I had that one time it didn't upload. Just leave and it'll upload. Unless he wants to have him just close it, it doesn't matter to me.
But yeah, I don't know what it looks like on your end to like leave.
I can
so like the leave button.
Well, I can just
Patreon
kind of
exclusive material.
Patreon exclusive. That's right. Yep. Yep. Well, How about I just leave the computer on for a while and then I'll come back and like close it down or something like that. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, gentlemen, you take care and we will see you next time.
All right. Good night. Sounds good. Double on.
Bye, Jeremy.
Don't let the door hit you. Oh, no, never. Wait.
Wow. Did I say that out loud? Oh, yeah.
You can just turn off your camera. You don't have to leave it on like that.
Here we go. I turned him off. He's gone. He's gone. All right.
I miss him already.
I know.
Oh, now I can eat this turkey sandwich you have sitting here.
Ooh, I forgot we got like 4 pepper turkey from Sam's. It's so good. But he's gone, so it doesn't matter. He's not going to hear it. Okay, so... Matt, are you ready to give us your numbers, or do you want to talk? Tell you what, let's space it out.
About what we've been playing, so you guys can get some talking in. Real quick.
I'm good. Yes, let's do that. What have we been playing? So, Matt, we can go ahead and start with you.
All right,
you're in the first square.
All right, first square. only ones I can really go with. There's been a lot of family playing games in terms of outside of tabletop. I'll leave that alone. There's a really cool educational game. If you have a daughter, it's called Her Story. That's on sale on Amazon right now for like $25. Highly recommend it. Historical, educational, and fun. Believe it or not, as an adult, it's fun. But as for games, there's been with the family a lot of on the weekends, a lot of Mario Party Superstars and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Just because those are probably the epitome versions of those games that you can play, especially with multiple players and playing with people that are in their 30s, 40s, and single digits of age. There's still been some Gloomhaven, which we have some Gloomhaven coming up tomorrow night for the Backlog Busters.
Woot woot.
We have, I've tried Final Fantasy 14. I've never really played an MMORPG outside of Diablo 4. I don't know.
And you want again?
Did you get the same feeling I did? Did you feel overwhelmed with the menus and everything popping up?
No, I just wasn't like, but my son's getting into it, so I'm going to try playing with him. Maybe it'll be actual fun playing with someone who plays. I'm not saying he's played before. He's inexperienced at it. And then I've been really starting to crush along into Sea of Stars. I don't know how much you want me to describe where I'm at, because I don't know who's playing it and where everybody is, and try to stay away from spoilers.
I imagine you are probably further than I got based on the most recent screenshots you posted. That was,
let me put it this way. I've made it to the Sea of Stars.
Oh, right, that's an actual thing. Oh, wow. I'm so far behind.
Right. And I stopped playing shortly after those screenshots you most recently posted.
And put it this way, just before we recorded, I'm at a major plot point. And while I'm that, I found a place I haven't gone to do. Because I'm really enjoying Wheels and I want to get all the figures to make the game easier for Wheels. And I just was sitting there. It took me about 5 or 6 times because the person I was playing against had a priest and an assassin. It took me about five times, and I was able to knock them out. I figured out what to do to take them out. But I still don't have the priest or the assassin yet. So when I defeated them, I got the gold cog or gold wheel or whatever. So
I'm sorry. I missed. What game are you talking about?
The Wheels in Sea of Stars.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Sea of Stars, but then you start saying things that I had no idea what you're talking about.
It's a mini game.
That game is really good. When I start, I'm like, what is going on? Once you figure out how to play it, it's really good. It's really fun.
Yeah. People on the Reddit are asking for like an online version so they can play against each other.
Well, by the way, just a side note, it's Sea of Stars multiplayer is coming where you're going to play couch co-op of people controlling each character. So.
Okay. I guess that's the thing, and I will play it with nobody.
And outside of that, that's been about it.
All right. Well, Mike?
Yes, I use
it. Your turn.
Well, I don't have a lot to share because the only thing I've been playing for the past month has been Elden Ring. And then more Elden Ring. I think I might have...
You're supposed to beat it before we recorded, right?
Yeah, well...
So that's another completion to mark down? That's great?
But I didn't quite make it. I didn't quite make it.
Oh, you're going to Dragon Quest 11 this game. Okay.
He's actually playing it right now.
That's true.
Just curious, what's the over-under of me beating... For everybody, for me beating Dragon Quest... What's the line for me to beat Dragon Quest 11 this year?
There's a 0% chance that you beat Dragon Quest 11 this year.
I think if you're going to do over-under... We need to select a date. Like, do we think
December 31st, 2024, by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time? Because that's my.
Will you have it completed? Will you have completed the third act? Not just rolling credits, but rolling
the
credits.
The third act. I'm not saying 100% the game, but I'm well aware the third act is beating the game.
I'm going to take the over.
Okay, I'm just curious. Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder there, Mr.
No. Yeah. So Elden Ring.
Playing with his creepy hands chasing after you.
So how do you know that you're getting close to the end? How do you know?
Oh, I look stuff up. Duh.
I didn't know?
You can't play Elden Ring. You can't play Elden Ring and do most of the things on a blind playthrough. You just can't. It's so obscure the things you need to do, and the quest lines are like you'll do something for somebody in one place and they won't tell you any clues or anything what you're supposed to do to find them in the next place. You just have to kind of like happen upon them. Quest structure is pretty bad, but I'm fighting the final boss. I spent about an hour and a half trying to beat it before we started recording today. I got pretty close a couple of times. One time it was one hit away, and I saved a clip of that where I died right before I beat it. And so I'm still pushing through, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, to finish it tonight. But I don't know. It's a pretty tough fight. Well, it's like it's one of those fights that has multiple forms, but like the character goes from like just a dude to like a giant monster. So it feels like two different fights. It doesn't feel like this is the next logical step of this character. And so it's just annoying to fight the first form every time that you lose, because like you're just in the way of me fighting what I actually want to fight.
With his medulla oblongata.
Sorry, I just saw that Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 turbocharges coming to Game Pass.
Yeah, and the first one is going off Game Pass.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching my son play Elden Ring earlier today, and I'm still just kind of floored by how gorgeous the game looks. Like, there doesn't really seem to be any kind of issues with the draw distance. It's just massive. And I was asking him questions. I was watching him, you know, fight the enemies, fighting some really tough guys. And it's just, I don't even know how he knows where to go, because it's not like there's an on-screen map that he's using to navigate. He just knows where he's going to go in this particular, like in the Citadel or whatever it was, that this looks to be like a central town. I guess there was always something for him to do, and he's just, you know, gradually grinding through the game and knocking people out, and he's really enjoying it.
There is a map button. Yeah, you can look at the map. It's a really, really detailed map, like probably one of the most detailed maps I've ever seen in a game.
Because on the map that he's pulled up, it just looks like a big overworld map.
Yeah, maybe he's just kind of zoomed out all the way.
Okay.
You can zoom in and get kind of close and get, like, some decent details of like the overworld map. There's no dungeon maps. So any dungeons. Yeah. I'm wondering if he's in like the capital city is the only one I can figure.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. There were like these weird, they looked like snowmen that were like blowing horn. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And like capital the city. Poison. Yeah. Whatever those bubbles were.
Laendell.
Yeah. It was really fun to watch him. I'm like, you know what? I don't know that I'm ever going to play this game. So
it's a good time.
Enjoy.
You just got to be patient.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe one of these days.
I'm sitting at level 174 right now. And I have a little over 100 hours, but I've taken down every major boss up till this point, and I've really tried to get the vast majority of things that I can do done. There's a couple of like quest lines that I didn't finish, but nothing like huge. I know there's one ending that I cut short because I wasn't going to go for that ending this time around. But yeah, multiple endings too, by the way. So at least three major different endings, depending on the choices that you make and the quest lines that you beat.
All right.
Yeah. So one of the bosses that I had to fight, he's a secret boss. And I don't know if you guys have been watching the video clips I've been posting, but it was that big lightning dragon that I posted today. In order to get to that, I was in like this like in-game area, and you had to like drop off a cliff and run down, different pieces of broken ground that are just like floating in the air, and you get down there and there's this random button prompt that just says lay down. And so you like find this random spot off in the corner of nowhere and you lay down and you pop up at this like mega boss. Like, it's so obscure.
That's like, you know, trying to go to the edge of a board and kneel and wait for a tornado to come get you.
Fun fact, it was a tornado that came and got me.
Uh,
I'll see if I can catch a clip of how to get there, just so I can share it to you specifically.
Yeah. Well, that is too much. All right. Is that all you've got? Just Elden Ring?
That's the only thing I've been playing.
All right. I haven't been playing a whole lot. I've been trying to get in like one, maybe two runs of Brotato each day, just trying to chip away at the achievements. So picking a character that I haven't completed a run with and do that.
So have you turned all the settings down to get the achievements?
I'm still playing at like 65% enemy health, speed, and damage. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, I didn't know if you really turned it down, like turned it down.
I think the lowest you can go, from what I read on the wiki, is like 25%, but I haven't done that. I think 65% is, right now for me, is just, it's the right speed. So I think some people, like my son, would say, like, I'm playing on baby mode or whatever. I'm like, you know what? I just want to have fun. I don't want to stress out about it. Now, someone like Grouchy, not to steal his thunder, like, I don't think he's messed with any of the settings. And he has now gotten all 83 achievements. That's impressive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if you've played any more. Have you played any of it recently?
I've uninstalled it. I've had my time with it. I'm done. I'm not worried about getting achievements and just kind of, it was one of those things to pick up and play, but which I didn't mention, I started playing a little bit of Hi-Fi Rush, but you know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Like there's one character that I did with Brotato, and I think, I'm trying to remember what it was, that damage modifiers worked at 200%. And I think or 100%, I can't remember what it was. It was 100%, and your attack speed was default at 200%, but you could only equip one weapon at a time. Gotcha. So what I did is I equipped the ethereal weapon that for every so many enemies that you defeat, you gain 1% damage.
Yeah.
So if that's the only one I'm using, every time I kill the 20 enemies, I'm getting 1% damage. Except because of this character's modifier, it's actually 2%.
I got you.
And so I would just use
every time.
So I would use that for a few rounds and build my damage meter up, my damage percent up really high. And then I'd swap over to something else. And then, you know, kind of pick and choose weapons as they come across in the shop.
So gotcha.
I think I tried.
That makes sense.
I don't know if there's one. I don't think it was that character, but another one that I got all the way to level 20, and I had the boss was dead, but the build wasn't right, and I took way too many hits, and then I died. I was like, oh my gosh, I was so close.
But whatever. So close. That's the worst.
But I will say right now, the game that is like living rent-free in my mind and is saying, you want to come back and play, don't you? Is Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
See, I still got to play Like a Dragon, so
I have been playing Infinite Wealth nightly this week. I have, of course, the main character, but I now have three supporting characters in my party. It's just, to me, mind-boggling how much stuff is in the game, and I'm still at the very beginning of the game.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, with the Pokemon ripoff, the crazy text. Is it the
main character from
Ichiban. The first one? Ichiban Kasuga, yes. And I love that dude. He's,
can I ask a question? Do they make him where he's like weak level one again, or do you have like some abilities? And just curious. It's always found it odd when you have a sequel to a game with the same characters. Like, you're this big beast at the end, strong, and now I'm level one and I'm weak. And
yeah, so Toaster Waffle was saying the same things. Like, why don't they carry over? I'm like, you know, I think some of that stuff should carry over. For whatever reason,
I'm not saying it should carry over, but yeah.
Yeah, it's
like Tears of the Kingdom did it, where, you know, they made an excuse that you're down to three hearts again. So
I mean, I'm okay with it, and it doesn't really I don't really
think it doesn't about bother it too much. Me. I'm just more of a curiosity.
No,
that's all.
But I was, and I know I mentioned this on another episode, but the combat in Infinite Wealth feels a lot better than the first one. And I still like the turn-based combat from the first one. And I love that game. But the combat in Infinite Wealth improves upon that in just a great way. For example, okay. when you're running around and you come across, you know, a group of enemies, you go into battle, you fight them, no problem. But even in like a Dragon Quest game or Final Fantasy, and even the first Like a Dragon game, if you come across a battle with a bunch of low-level enemies, you still fight them. In Infinite Wealth, there's a designation that'll tell you that these are low-level enemies. When you go into the battle, you can just press the left trigger button and one hit and they all die. So you're not wasting all this time trying to issue commands.
So like in Earthbound, when you're fighting the weak things, it just does the screen, it goes, da-da, it just flashes and the enemies are defeated, right?
I'm not sure. Didn't.
No, it's not that simple, but you know, that game you guys were kind of saying you didn't enjoy. So,
yeah. I have heard about that mechanic though. Like, that's not foreign to me. I've seen people talk about the game, so it's exactly what it sounds like.
But just listening to when I came across that in Infinite Wealth, I went, well, this is a fantastic quality of life, you know, adjustment. But there's all the little details and all the little side stories. Like, I am invested in the characters and even the, you know, the random strangers that you come across, like, yeah, let me help you. I want to see the end of this storyline. I want to see what happens if I go over here, if I go over there. Yeah, I'm just really, really enjoying it. Yeah, I just hate that I'm not getting to get to it until really late at night. And so then that's when I'm struggling to even keep my eyes open. I'm just so I'm like almost, you know, blacking out when I'm playing it. But yeah, that's been my big game. So good. So I really don't want to be here right now. I want to go and play the game. So I hope I still have
thank
time.
Thank you for listening to the Backlog Busters.
Hey. There's not an application for me out there. Are applications to replace you guys, not me. Don't you dare do that.
What if Cat might signed up for an application?
Wait, say that again?
What if
what if
Mini Sat signed up?
Well, you know what? What I'd say to Mini Sat?
Slim Matthias.
Anyhow. And this is why I struggle with migraines, why I just dread coming to do this every week. But I'm kidding. I don't. I was being silly today. My wife's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you happy?
Like, no, why are you happy?
Like, wow, that is
a
very
wife then.
That is a very telling statement for, I guess, how I typically am. So, yikes. Anywho, yeah, we're playing some good games, which is great. So let's get to the part where Skinny Matt tells us that his numbers 20 through 11 are all mule or steam or whatever it is.
Oh, I forgot to mention a game I started playing a little bit real quick. Highly recommend. It's like $15 on Steam, Dice Folk. It's like an RPG using dice. But like we roll the dice for both. You roll the dice for both the enemies and yourself, so you have to use that strategy. There's a lot of math and strategy involved to determine what you want to do. Yeah, it's a little different mechanics. I think there might be a demo available, but it's only like $15. So
I was getting confused with something that someone else posted in the Discord. Michael Hughes posted a game called Slice and Dice, which is a tactical dice battle roguelike.
Okay.
So it says, take control of five heroes, each with their own unique dice. Fight your way through 20 levels of monsters and try to take on the final boss.
But this one, you're kind of taking kind of, like, I don't want to say like Pokemon, but you kind of recruit little monsters that help you out. That they're doing all the fighting. So, yeah. not Pokemon-esque, except for the fact that they're monsters that you get, but you're not like trying to catch them all. So, yeah.
Gotta catch them all.
Anyhow.
All right. So let's get to your list so that we can, well.
All right. Let's hear what Mama has to say on the subject.
Mama. All right. This number 20 is a very recent game with the sequel coming out. I'll kind of keep it kind of short. If you have any questions or want any details, let me know. I'll get more in detail. That would be a little game called Hades.
Hades. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. What
game is it?
It is a roguelite, right? Roguelite-like.
It's a roguelite.
It plays well. You got to go through, 11 runs to get the true ending. And it's fun to go back to, not every now and then. So the replayability of that, it's fantastic. It plays so smooth. I love how the story it goes in by every time you get defeated. You just talk to the characters again. You start piecing it all together. It's really well done. And the art style is fantastic too. So
I think that's one of the things I did appreciate the time that I had with it, is that with a lot of rogue games, you die and you just go back to the beginning and nothing has really changed. You just have to do another run. But this one, there felt like there was a progression with story. You know, as you are, talking to the people over, oh, that's what we're going to do.
I got to have a fidget, guys. I'm sorry.
All right. Hey, but at least you're rocking a 0.7?
9.
Point 9. Ooh, even better. All right. So, Skinny Matt, what's your number 19?
Number 19, I kind of going to put a little caveat on this one because it could be the original or the sequel. This is a game. It's still fun to play. Had a lot of time playing with this in the dorms in college. There may have been a certain beverage involved on that because we played a lot in the wintertime, and that would be Mario Party. Original OG
hot chocolate.
Mario Party 2.
Oh, man, I love hot chocolate. And that goes great with Mario Party.
Especially in the winter.
Caramel apple spice.
We'd order some pizza and have some Pepsis. Wink, wink. Yeah.
You mean you didn't have pop?
No. We did have pop, but, but anyway, we went for the store brand stuff because it was college, but, gloves be damned. There's still a few with the original. There's nothing like having that little red little blister bump in the middle of your palm.
No, that was that before or after you learned about this game?
I play the fifth on this, and you see my stuff needs edited out. So, I don't know. Just the mini games are good. Like I said, I can argue between 1 or 2 on this one, depending on the time of day, because Peach's Birthday Cake is fantastic. It's probably the best Mario Party board of all time. A lot of fun, a lot of the mini games. You can't go wrong with it. Now, if you're playing by yourself, it's just not fun. You got to play with friends. It's total party community game. I mean, party's in the name. So
did you spend a lot of time playing by yourself?
No, we played in the dorms a lot. We'd have gatherings, not parties, and we'd all play games on the weekends and get some beverages of choice and some pizzas. And because especially in the winter when you didn't want to walk down to the bar, the place where people hang out late at night.
Cafeteria.
Yeah, off campus one. You didn't want to walk because the weather really stunk. We played a lot of that. There was a lot of, a lot of, just a side note, there was a lot of GoldenEye involved with that other nights too. So, or Smash Brothers. So that would be my number 19. As for my number 18, this is a classic, arcade classic, still fun to play. From 1982, that would be Dig Dug.
Huh.
Come on. Getting that little music going in. Come on, there's nothing like when you're going after that. You're digging through. Anyone does know Dig Dug. So you're trying to go through, and the board is you're digging through, and you go a little slow. And as you dig through, there's the spots that are left black and empty because you can go through faster. You got the enemies. You got the Frygars. The Lukas? Is that what they were called? The little red guys with the big eyes? And then you got the Frygars, which are the dragons that would sometimes breathe fire. They would be trapped in an area and they'd move back and forth, but then they would turn into like eyeballs and they could float into another area. like where you were, and they'd move faster. And you hit your little button to shoot your little air thing at them, and you have to keep hitting your button really fast to make them explode until you get to the last one, and they try to run away. So that's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's simple, it's basic, it's still fun. I play that every time I go to the Strong Museum, or if I go into an old arcade that still has a console sitting or a cabinet sitting there. So
I had a 4-in-1 floppy disk that had the Namco Classics. So it had Pac-Man, Dig Dug, Pole Position, and there's another one that I can't Nappy? Think of right now. I don't know.
Is that the
one? I think it was a game that was actually a fun one. But yeah, I remember, you know, Dig Dug. That's a classic.
That is one of my all-time favorite old-school arcade games.
Should we only made it up to number 18?
That was number 18.
Okay. What's your number 17?
Number 17, despite how bad the NES port is and people love it, if you go for the Commodore 64 version, is the 1987 LucasArts classic point-and-click adventure Maniac Mansion. One of the first Commodore 64 games I ever beat. I mean, it's got multiple endings. The story's fantastic. It's cheesy. It's like a tribute to the classic horror B movies. It's got that humor of LucasArts is known for, and you just don't want to be a tune ahead and miss that game.
So,
yes, and if anyone doesn't know, if you want to play it, I think the best way to access it is with the sequel, Day of the Tentacle, was on Game Pass, and the original Maniac Mansion is within the sequel.
But with or without microwaving the hamster?
Well, you can't microwave the hamster on the NES version.
There's one you can. Obviously.
You can on the Commodore 64 version. So
I know that they ended up reissuing Maniac Mansion, and they took out the ability to microwave the hamster.
Oh, so
there are two different versions of the cart.
That's how you get Ed to kill you. That's the thing. Ed would take you to the jail, but when he'd catch you, cousin Ed, is it Ed? Yeah, because Fred and Edna. It's been a minute. Because it's his hamster, and if you actually microwave the hamster and give it to him, he actually killed you. You end up being a tombstone outside. So there's that one. Number 16 would be a game as an indie game. Has very good narrative. The mood is fantastic. It's so creepy. It's from 2016, and that would be Oxenfree.
Still need to play that.
One of the few narrative games I really, really like. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just the story is fantastic, where you're sitting there with Alex and her friends, and you're on that island, and there's just something going on. But the game is just so creepy. The mood is just so unsettling, but it's not scary. It's just it's unnerving the entire time. There's nothing like when you go through the one area and you're walking. First off, in the gameplay, you're walking through areas, and then they're having conversations and prompts pop up. So you just hit the button to correspond to what response you want to have. So you can kind of make some of your friends angry with you. You have different friends move with you. Some can like you. It affects the story. It can affect the ending. Actually, to get the true ending, you kind of might have to play through twice. But I don't want to give a spoiler what's actually going on, but it's just really cool. Cause there's a part where you're walking through with one of your friends and you're going through, and there's like a pond or a lake, and you go to the next screen and it goes right back to it. But then this picture's a little distorted, kind of like a bad VHS, like when the VHS, the heads aren't going, and then it goes through and it does it again. They're sitting there like, didn't we just go through here? But just the way they do it, they give a lot of subtle cues, and it's just there. It's just done really well. I haven't played the sequel. I heard the sequel's really not so great, but
if it
ever hits Game Pass or it goes dirt cheap, I'll give it a shot.
No,
you play it on your phone.
It's fantastic.
Play it on your phone with Netflix.
What's Night School Games? So that's a Netflix own, because Netflix bought Night School Games.
The thing that bugged me when I was playing the game, I only played it once for just a few minutes, but when it's time to make a choice, there's like a countdown.
Yeah.
So I
would because it's going to affect the story.
Right, but I want to be able to have a chance to like read and think.
Can be legit.
I need time to think and process.
Well, do you think if you were in that situation, you'd have time to think and process, or do you have to go with what it is?
But I'm playing a video game. I'm not actually in that situation.
It makes it very real.
I'm not having to, the pop quiz
in that game is amazing scene. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you fail, someone's going to die.
It's like right now, I can have a conversation with you, and I'm not doing like, do I choose A, B, or C? I'm just having a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. But when I'm playing the game, I've got to read the different options and then think about like, how would I respond? But it's whatever. Maybe I'll give it another shot. Whatever.
You don't remember that scene when the guy takes over your friend and they're like, hey, if you fail, we are going to kill them.
Nope. I don't remember that.
And the guy's up on the ceiling?
Nope.
Starts asking you questions?
Guess it's time to replay Oxenfree. Cry and shame.
Highly recommend it. It's so good. It's so unsettling. It's scary, but it's not. It's just unnerving. Kind of like, it's done so well. It's so, the mood is fantastic. If you're worried, you know what? Play with the lights dim and go over. Wait till Halloween time. Fine. Go ahead. It's don't wait that long. It's only March. And go play that one. Shall I continue?
I thought we were supposed to play horror games last month. I don't know.
I haven't beat a game yet this year. Number 15 is a classic. It's my favorite version of this game series. All the other ones have kind of disappointed since then. Some people aren't going to like that. And that'd be 2001. I think it was 2001 in North America. And North America came out on the GameCube, and that would be Animal Crossing Population Growing. Game I played a lot.
Population Growing?
That's what the actual subtitle was of the original version.
Oh. Cool.
It's a little more basic compared to the other stuff, but it's so good. It's so chill. You can have multiple people in your town. They can affect your town too, unlike some newer versions of that game. I know New Leaf is supposed to be really good, but I never owned a 3DS or DS, so I kind of missed out on that one.
It was a good one.
The best thing about this game, outside of the fact it's just like all the Animal Crossings, one, you don't have your tools breaking. But one of my favorite features of this is the fact that it has all those hidden games buried into it that you can eventually dig up. So you have those old NES games that you can put into your house, and you can actually play the game inside Animal Crossing. So you can go play Balloon Fight and Excite Bike, and all those old NES games are inside of Animal Crossing. That is a fantastic feature and well worth it in itself.
But you have to have a Game Boy Advance and the Link cable to get there. For some of them, I thought you did.
Nope.
Because you have to be able to get to the
island. There might be some if you needed the e-reader, but I think most of the games are actually within it itself.
Well, maybe I'm just thinking about the island part that you can get to.
Yeah, you need that to get to the island. That is for sure.
Okay.
So Animal Crossing, no tool break. Like, just the fact it has all those old NES games is fantastic.
Hey, do you still have a working GameCube and that game?
I still have that game, but I have a working Wii. I still have the memory card that comes with it that gives you the special letters.
Well, I do too. Maybe I should bring mine and we could see if my village is still okay.
It's going to be a little overgrown. Who are you after 40 years, after 20 years?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. People have died. Tom Nook is like,
everybody moved out.
There's going to be notes on everything saying, you know, everything has been shut down. Everybody's moved out. And I'm now by myself. No one's coming to visit.
And one feature I like that I love, when you mail something to someone, you had to wait till it's mail delivery time. And who was the pelican that would deliver mail twice a day? If you were out in front of the houses, you can actually run into them. So that was really cool.
Look, just go into the console settings and set the date to whenever you played last, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, because I can remember the last time I played it.
Well, rough estimate.
Isn't Captain the bus driver? No. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
See, Bobby? Love you, buddy. So that would be number 15, right?
Yep.
So number 14, I'm going to go with a certain version of it for the home console version. The arcade version.
I seem very upset about every single one of your choices. Like, I think I'm going
to. The home console version, I had the multi-tap to have four people playing. Had blasts with it all the time. The arcade version I would play, which is a little older. I love what they got since they added the section to the Strong Museum. where they have a version you can play for free, so I can use the Golden State Warriors and have Tim Hardaway and Chris Mullins, and that would be NBA Jam. And specifically, I'm going to call NBA Jam the Tournament Edition, because the home console version for that with the updated roster is the best. The advantage that I give that one over the original NBA Jam is the fact that it had the three members of the rosters. So you actually had to worry about fatigue, and you could swap them out.
Nice.
Now, I believe that came out around 1994. Roughly, what was it? Midway made it. Great arcade basketball game. So much fun. Everybody knows he's on fire. Boom shakalaka. I mean, come on. It's just a classic. You get four people with the multi-tap on the Super Nintendo playing. You couldn't play with four players on the Genesis. I don't think four Genesis had a four-player adapter. If I'm wrong, it happens.
Let's find out.
But yeah, that game is just way too much fun. I wish they'd make a new version without all the other stuff. Yes, I know there was NBA Hang Time and all that, but NBA Jam was fantastic.
I think I had Hang Time on the Nintendo 64, and that was, for me, that was great because it was the time that I was like really into I was into those basketball players at the time. And so it was very relevant, especially for me being a Spurs fan. I could have David Robinson and Tim Duncan. But like since then, the only thing that came even close was, you know, the NBA Street games.
Yep. NBA Street. They were different. They were good, but they were different.
And there was NBA Jam. There's an arcade version that was on the Xbox 360. And it's good. But I really want something where I can play with current rosters, or I say, I want to play with rosters from the 90s. I want to be able to choose a decade and say, all right, let me play NBA Jam with 90s rosters, so I can have, like, you know, Sean Kemp with the Seattle SuperSonics.
Oh, well, that team doesn't exist.
Well, I know. So there would definitely have to be some licensing and some adjustments that would have to be made. But yeah, I can dream.
There was multiple four-player multi-taps for the Sega Genesis that came out around the same time, so it was possible to play four players on the Genesis.
I stand corrected. Look at that. I was wrong again. What a surprise.
I never said.
We used to actually have NBA Jam tournaments. Like, we'd have people and I'd have a couple, like, at a party or something. Somebody would spend the night and we'd do tournaments. Yeah, good times. Good times, especially when you do, like, have people on the same team. But come on, the cheapest would take the Hornets with Alonzo Mourning, Muggsy Bogues, Steph Curry's dad, Del Curry was, you know, depending on which version you're playing. Grandma Larry Johnson. Actually, it was Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning was the original. And then depending on which version you had, you either had Muggsy Bogues or you had Del Curry. So.
So I remember, I don't think it was Tournament Edition, just a regular NBA Jam had for the Super Nintendo. And it was thought it was very funny to play as the Orlando Magic. So you had huge, hulking Shaquille O'Neal and itty-bitty Scott Skiles.
Ooh, that was after he was with the Bullets, right? Is that after?
I'm not sure. Anyhow. But it was just so weird to see, like, here's this little guy. It's like, don't even try to do a dunk. He's not going to make it. No,
so. Layup. He lays it up. So a lot of fun on that one. So that's my number 14. My number 13 be controversial because some people would say the sequel to this would be better. I just have more experiences with this one. And that is the one that everybody played. And that would be the game with the fantastic soundtrack. People made on their own time. Came out in 1989 on the NES. And that would be Mega Man 2.
I guess I've heard of it.
So outside of that Quick Man stage, those damn lasers just got me every time. I went back playing that again on the NES Classic. I'm like I was like a kid again, like, no, like struggling with that part with the lasers to get coming in from each side of the screen. I know you have to jump on the last part, but like I knew how to do it. And I used like because I would just get nervous. And then, like, being an adult and just, like, having flashbacks as a kid, it was like, same exact thing again. That game is amazing. The soundtrack's awesome. The gameplay is amazing. The weapons are fantastic. I know a lot of people like 3 better, but I just got more experience with two. And
I feel like two is generally the most popular pick.
It's the most popular, but a lot of people like three better. Two was more popular amongst the general public, but for the gamers, three is considered the better game.
Look, I'm going to drop a hot take right now. 11 is the better game.
Well, there is the motto of, from the backlog bingo brunch community, that newer is always better.
Look, I don't know what it is about the 11th entry in a series, but it always tends to gears? Be the very best. Yes.
Is that the word it's got? I don't like that. I don't like that mechanic. I tried playing like the demo or something. That mechanic just.
It's a strong mechanic.
We are full of hot takes today.
Oh. They're hot. Got takes. They're not good, but they're hot. All right.
Number 12.
Number 12, the 1992 Sega Genesis game. The sequel is actually supposed to be pretty good. I bought us the Sega Classics thing, which, by the way, is on sale on the Xbox right now for like $6. And that would be the strategy RPG Shining Force. One of the first strategy RPG games I ever played. I never played the Sega CD one. By the way, like I said, right now, if you have an Xbox, go buy the Sega Genesis Classics, because it also, by the way, the Xbox one is even better than the Switch one, because you get the NES version of Baseball Stars with that. That did not make my list, but that is the best baseball game on the NES. Anyhow, Shining Force with the characters. I don't even know where to start. I know it was supposed to compete with like Fire Emblem, allegedly. The Man on the Moose could tell you more about this game than I could, but that's one of the first strategy RPGs I ever played and beat. It's fantastic. Go check it out.
I might be able to top him. What do you want to know?
I don't know. I mean, the DS version does have the extra character that you can get. Oh.
Wrong.
Or the GBA? There's another Game character Advanced. That's not in the...
Three extra characters. Three extra characters. And they added a card system.
The Nintendo Switch is the very first handheld console I've ever owned. So I missed out. That's why I don't... That's a big hole in my gaming knowledge and experience. So that would be number 12. Finally. Just missing the top 10. 2002 Rockstar Games. That would be Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Can't go wrong with a game where you're committing crimes, Ray Liotta's voicing your character, set in the Miami-esque, somewhat like Miami in the 80s. Game comes out in 2002, takes place in the 80s. The voice acting is amazing. The fact it's the first Grand Theft Auto where like that, where you can 3D Grand Theft Auto, where you can go into stores and kind of rob them. The whole, Grand Theft Auto 3 had the soundtrack on the radio coming straight out of Scarface. And then this one had the whole Scarface mansion in it that you end up taking over. The voice cast is amazing. You got everyone from, I think I'm going off memory here. Okay, you had Ray Liotta, Burt Reynolds, right? Or was that just in GTA 3?
I don't know.
Never really played a game. Sorry.
Oh, man. Now that I started to say, I had this written down and I didn't put in like, oh, I'll remember everybody who was in this. I think Burt Reynolds is in it. The guy who played King Koopa himself. I'm not talking Jack Black. The bad guy from Speed. Yeah. Why am I? My mind's blanking and people are yelling at us right now as they listen to this and yelling at me.
I just said it.
What did you say?
All right, you got
Dennis Hopper.
Yes, Dennis Hopper's in it. You got the porn star in there herself. You got some 90s porn stars in there.
Look, stop. You got Gary Busey. I'm trying to go off memory. You got Steve Scott.
Yeah, Gary Busey is the guy who sells you the arms. Yeah.
You got Juan Cortez, Luis Guzman, Ricardo Diaz, Burt Reynolds, Danny Trejo, Lance Vance. I think that's just a character, though. Maybe it's a guy. I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. There's more here, but yeah. I think it's starting to get into characters instead of actual actors. So I'm gonna.
Speaking of Danny Trejo, I just defeated a character in Infinite Wealth, voiced by Danny Trejo.
Ooh, Machete.
That wasn't his name, no.
I know, but he... So, that's up to my number 11, GTA Vice City.
Cool beans. Well, the next time that we come together, we can talk about our numbers 10 through 6. I know people were probably thinking we were going to do that today, but we had to play catch-up because some people didn't show up.
Spoiler alert, there's a lot of Super Nintendo games on the rest of my list.
I don't think much of you and all your snotty questions.
I love the Waterboy quotes.
Thank you. That's going to be a quick transition into one of the questions that we did get. And this is from... Wait a minute. Where is it? Where did the question go? Oh. So this is from Porcho, the man down under. In relation to the stink being kicked up by Dragon's Dogma 2 and its microtransactions, how likely do you think it will be for other developers to follow in Capcom's lead and put certain gameplay elements behind a paywall?
That's been going on for a while now, EA.
Some of the things that they have, because they did post. I'm trying to see.
Listen, I don't like it. I've never played Dragon's Dogma. I'm just going to put this out there. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to keep doing it until people quit spending the money. Period. If people complain about it and pay for all the little transactions, they'll keep doing it.
But yeah. I think what it is, you know, some of this stuff is just kind of giving you a head start. Like, I know some of the DLC for Like a Dragon and some of the other Yakuza games, it'll help you boost some of your stats at the very beginning if you want to do that. And I know there are a lot of games that have things like that. But I'm afraid, I think somebody has mentioned this, that what if the DLC or the extra money that you can spend will be something like, oh, well, if you pay for the DLC, then you'll be able to save your game.
Well, right now, I think if you pay for the DLC, like $3 for now, it's not like you're paying $20 for a DLC. They're like, it's kind of a la carte. And from a meme I saw, so take that for what it's worth. You have to pay like $3 or $4 so you can fast travel.
Yeah, you know, when it comes
compared to other consoles who put it fast travel in some games that were ported behind an amiibo, so
when it comes to microtransactions, I just expect it from Capcom's games nowadays, and at least the ones that I've played recently, which has mostly been Resident Evil, they're pretty much ignorable. You can unlock almost everything within gameplay, and I don't know if that stands true for Dragon's Dogma 2. I think the big stink from that comes from the fact that they didn't tell people in advance that was going to be a thing, and the original Dragon's Dogma didn't have microtransactions. So I think that's where we're running into that issue. And it doesn't help that the game is also having pretty significant performance problems on top of the microtransaction issues. I think it's going to really hurt the game overall, but we'll see. I was kind of excited to check it out based on how the first one was, but it's definitely pretty far down my priority list with performance issues and microtransactions being a thing.
Yeah, so I guess there's the microtransactions where it's more of a convenience thing, like being able to fast travel. Do you have to fast travel? No, but it would save a lot of time. But what's from stopping them from having something that's more than just, you know, a cosmetic or a convenience quickie type thing? And it's like, oh, well, if you want to, I don't know, if you want to be able to enter into item shops in your RPG, you've got to pay extra for that. If you want access to the smith for weapons, you've got to pay extra for that. Things that are more core to the gameplay, they start nickel and diming people for that. Like if they want to say, you know, here's $5. You know, $5 will get you a new costume. I'm like, who cares? It doesn't do anything. It just makes you look different.
Yeah, I mean, but then you've got you know, other companies out there like Larian Studios and FromSoft, who put out whole massive games, tons of cosmetic options, zero DLC, and they're universally praised for it. So, like, I don't know.
Right. And you just made me think of, you know, Stardew Valley. Here's this guy that put out a game. You've paid for it. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to keep updating it. I'm going to add new stuff and update and add new stuff and update. I'm like,
and version 1.6 just came out for for the PC version like this past week. And it's coming to console soon.
Yeah. But it's
for
like,
free.
No extra cost. But this is, like, I think there's definitely a way to do things and a way not to do things. So it can get very frustrating with the video game industry in terms of how, especially some like the bigger publishers, you know, you mentioned Capcom, EA is another big offender when it comes to that. It's like, oh, well, if you really want to be good when you play online, well, you need to give us some money so you can get better team members so you can, I don't know. Anywho. Well, that was the only question that we had.
Yeah, I sure hope that people don't keep going with that really bad microtransaction policy. Like that's my hope. I think people will still keep doing it, probably, but I really hope they don't.
Right. Like DLC seems more like an option, but not mandatory to get the full experience. Anything else you guys want to say about that?
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. Like I said, if people keep paying for it, they'll keep doing it, period.
Very true. Very true.
All right. Let's hear what Mama has to say on the subject.
I guess we already did. You know, I do this stuff for you guys. I do this for you.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now.
I really should have saved that for someone bringing up Super Mario Brothers 3, so I'm going to have to save that one for later. All right. Well, thank you to everybody who is listening. I appreciate that. And especially thank you to our patrons that are out there who are getting some extra fun, super special content that you are not getting on the regular feed. And you get the stuff a week early. So I think that's great. Oh, but before we go, we do have our top secret passwords from the Nintendo Player's Guide. So tell me when to stop. No one's telling me anything. All right. Ooh, a good one. This is for the Super Nintendo launch game, Pilot Wings.
Ooh.
So these are codes to get you to some of the late game missions. So if you want to play, maybe you're tired of doing the whole, you know, Rocket Man stuff or, you know, flying a, you know, biplane. You want to fly a helicopter. So here's the code for getting to the first helicopter mission. 108048. And then if you want to get to the very late game second helicopter mission, the passcode is 882943. So, why don't you go fly some helicopters, destroy some evil people, and save the world in Pilot Wings for the Super Nintendo. And that's all the Backlog Busters have to say about that. So make sure that you hang out with us in the Discord. There is a link to that in the show notes or in the description of the episode. Follow us on Twitter and social media if you want to, or I don't know, Twitch. Make sure you follow Skinny Matt K on the Twitch platform and Twitter and wherever else he happens to be, where you can find him buried under 2 inches of snow. Find Blaze Knight. Blaze Knight 0923. You can find me at MathMan1024. Of course, Jeremy, you can find at Trash Turkey and the Backlog Busters in general at Backlog_Busters. And our Patreon without the underscore, patreon.com/backlogbusters. You know, $1 minimum gets you into the unedited, uncut episodes that include the pregame and the postgame stuff where you never know what you're going to hear. Especially on this one, it was super meaty, super juicy with a little game. So check it out, like some of our fabulous patrons have already done. So until next time, fellas, peace out and drop her on.
Live a pie on our day. Live a pie on our day.